At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Get everything for your next project at Menards. Tackle tough jobs with Loctite Power Grab. This all-purpose construction adhesive is easy to use and bonds to a variety of materials. Plus, it's high strength, paintable, and reduces the need for clamping with zero-second instant grab. Save big money on Loctite Power Grab at Menards and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
The Oddity News.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of the Oddity News. Dear Lord, I did it again. It has been a wild couple of weeks. We apologize for the missed episode last week, but it happens. You know, Tunny was sick. I was putting out fires. Both figuratively and literally with children. Holy hell. Yes, this is Dave Wirtz. And with me, as always, is my cohort in crime. That would be one Stanley Cup, or also known as PC Tunney. Tunney, you're feeling better, I assume.
Yes, I had COVID. If you listen to Bandwagon Nerds or Cheershot NFL already, you know that already. But I'm back. I'm better, and we're good to go. Yeah. So it was my fault, folks. Not a big deal.
No. Like I said, I did offer initially to do a solo recording, and then it got even crazier.
I was like that girl who waits by the phone and it never rang.
Like I said,
waiting for your solo show.
I was wholeheartedly going to do it, and then like I said, without going into details, I've had to call the cops for the school. Today I had to pick up rocks because they were being used as weapons. So I had to pick up every boulder on the playground. It was a long day, a very long day, and I am exhausted. But you know what never stops? That's the news. And of course, the Oddity News Network is here to bring all the weird and ridiculous. Even if the weird and ridiculous is in our own lives, guess what? We're never going to stop. Never. So let's get right to the news themselves. I am going to start off with a story out in Montana, as an 81-year-old rancher recently caught the attention of quite literally everyone after it was revealed that he spent the past decade harvesting parts from protected wildlife to create a giant hybrid species of wild sheep. Doesn't stop there, though. He then planned on selling across the country for a premium price. Arthur Schubarth has now been sentenced to 6 months in federal prison for his, quote, Shaun the Sheep shenanigans. According to the New York Times, Schubarth illegally used tissue from a Marco Polo Argali sheep from Central Asia and the testicles of a bighorn sheep native to the Rocky Mountains to make large hybrids of sheep that he could sell at high prices to shooting preserves. The scheme allegedly began in 2013, shortly after a Montana livestock worker returned to the U.S. from Kyrgyzstan and delivered tissue from the Marco Polo sheep to Schubarth. Prosecutors later explained that for nearly a decade and up until 2021, Schubarth illegally used these tissues, which is banned in Montana, to create the new mammoth species. The Associated Press also revealed that part of the Shubarth's motivation for creating this hybrid sheep was so that he could sell those sheep to an extortionate price for captive trophy hunting in Texas and Minnesota. Scheme was discovered by authorities after they learned that he was using forged veterinary inspection certificates to move sheep in and out of Montana. The judge allocated to Shubarth's case explained how it was extremely difficult to come up with a sentence for the defendant. U.S. District Court Judge Brian Morris stated that he weighed Shubarth's age and clean criminal record while also mentioning the need to impose a sentence that would deter anyone else from trying to create or change the genetic makeup of creatures on Earth. That's a quote, by the way. The judge on the court, the 81-year-old, announced, I will have to work the rest of my life to repair everything I've done. Indeed, amplifying the client's emotions, Shubarth's attorney, Jason Holden, noted how deciding to clone the giant sheep had ruined his client's life, reputation, and family, and has broken him. Tunney, how do you feel about mammoth sheep?
Sounds like some bad news, man.
There it is. That's why you're the goat. Well, see, it's like we never left.
Yeah, speaking of goats, Joshua the Goat.
Why do you think I did this for you, Tony?
Joshua the Goat has become a star, says Mayor Darren Bent of Conception Bay South.
Speaking of Conception.
Yeah. Well, isn't that where the penis-shaped, glacier rolled into the Conception Bay? Wasn't that it?
Yeah, that was another one, too.
Now they got goats in marathons. The town of Conception Bay South hosted its first T-Railway Trek half marathon on Sunday when its 250 or so runners passed a local business called Taylor's Pumpkin Patch. Mayor Darren Bent said a new contestant spontaneously joined the race. They have a resident goat, Mr. Joshua, and when the runners went past the pumpkin patch, the goat decided, well, I'm not staying here, I'm joining them. Joshua ran alongside the runners for approximately 4 kilometers before his owners caught up with him, said Bent. His owners walked the last half kilometer with him to get him over the finish line. We very quickly put a medal around his neck, and he became quite the star. Most people who actually ran the half marathon wanted their picture with Joshua at the finish line, said Bent. He recalled he was waiting at the finish line, Topsail Beach, when news spread that a goat was running alongside participants. We didn't know what quite to make of it. We had just heard that a goat was running alongside the trail. Joshua's owner, Jeremy Taylor, told CBC News he learned of his goat's aspiration for long-distance running through social media. He decided to break his collar, which he had on for years, and join the runners. He was after going about 2 kilometers, and he was stopped around the water station, Taylor said. He used his large groups of people, and he really gets involved when he's seen the crowd running. He decided to join in, not knowing this was one of the longest runs he would ever have. Everybody is talking about it. It's putting a smile on a lot of faces, Ben said. The half marathon itself was more than a year in the making at Conception Bay South's Mayor Joshua added something special to the race.
Yeah, I mean, that is a goat response. I mean, good for him.
And there's a picture right here in this article of a bunch of people running down a trail and a goat with them.
Yeah, you know this is good now going to be like a yearly thing for them. They're going to train every goat like they can to make sure that he runs this marathon.
Well, at the very least, he'll like be the marathon starter for as long as he's able to.
Yeah, right. They'll have like the bison at Colorado Buffalo games.
Yes, I'd be a little more comfortable around the goat as opposed to the bison.
Well, I'm just saying, like, that's what they're going to do. They're going to have some type of mascot for this race. Speaking of Conception, as I'm sure many of you have heard this story, but I think it's still pertinent. New York's seemingly eternal battle against the rodent population has taken a new twist after the city council approved pilot schemes to deploy rat contraceptives in a new effort to curb their booming population. This past Thursday night vote, which that would have been on the 26th, means that in the next few months, pilot programs will begin using ContraPest, a type of rodent birth control that will be put in special containers aimed at encouraging rats to ingest it. During such monthly inspections of the pilot program areas, the department shall track the amount of rat contraceptive in each rat contraceptive dispenser. The law was inspired by the tragic death of the city's beloved but short-lived Flacco the Owl, who escaped from captivity and seemed to be flourishing amid Manhattan skyscrapers until he died and was found with rat poison in his system. New York's rat problem is known worldwide, even sparking a mini tourism industry around it, with people offering rat tours after becoming known on social media for posting videos of city rats swarming through the streets and subways. Last year, New York appointed its very own rat czar, Kathleen Carotti, who was charged with getting a handle on what was dubbed, quote, public enemy number one. But New Yorkers also have a famous soft spot for the rats with whom they share the city. One of the city's most beloved modern icons is Pizza Rat, so named after a video of a determined rat dragging a slice of pizza down some subway steps. Well, this is what they are looking forward to. They are hoping to have this rodent population in some type of manageable state within the next couple of years. All right, rodent birth control, it's going to be the new big thing. I have a feeling we're going to see a wide market with this product. And who knows? Maybe you'll be using it on one of your rats in the near future.
No.
Oh, I tried.
Is this birth control like a pill, or is it like a little rat condom, or what is this?
If they had little rat condoms, that would be fantastic. But it's just like one of those, like the dispenser machines that you see in the bathroom. But just like, speaking of microplastics, it's going to be in the food, I would assume. It's something to ingest, right? So it's probably going to be mixed in with some type of enticing treat.
Cheese?
Boo!
I like cheese. Oh, okay.
Go get some.
All right. Well, you know what? What else our state's famous for besides cheese is beer.
Oh.
But we're going to go across the pond to the Netherlands, where beer can artwork accidentally thrown in bin by staff member at Dutch Museum. A Dutch museum has recovered an artwork that looks like two empty beer cans after a staff member accidentally threw it in the rubbish bin thinking it was trash. The work, entitled All the Good Times We Spent Together by French artist Alexandre Lavette, appears on first glance to be two discarded and dented beer tins. However, a closer look shows they are in fact meticulously hand-painted with acrylics and required a lot of time and effort to create, according to the museum. But their artistic value was lost on a mechanic who saw them displayed in a lift and chucked them in the bin. Fruk Jabuding, a spokesperson for the LAM Museum in Lisa, Western Netherlands, told AFP that artworks are often left in unusual places, hence the display in a lift. "We try to surprise the visitor all the time," she said. Curator Elisa Vandenberg returned from a short break and noticed that the cans had vanished. She recovered them from a bin bag just in the nick of time as they were about to be thrown out. "We have now put the work in a more traditional place, on a plinth, so it can rest after its adventure," Booting said. She stressed there were no hard feelings towards the mechanic, who had just started at the museum. "He was just doing his job," she said. Stietsky van Zanten, the museum's director, said, "Our art encourages visitors to see everyday objects in a new light. By displaying artworks in unexpected places, we amplify this experience and keep visitors on their toes," added Van Zanten. "With this in mind, the cans are unlikely to stay on their traditional plinth for long," said Booting. "We need to think hard about a careful place to put them next," she said. "The incident is the latest in a long line of unfortunate things that happen to artworks in galleries and museums. In 2023, a man said he was hungry, ate a banana that had been taped to a wall as part of an installation by the Italian artist Mauricio Catalan at a gallery in Seoul. In 2011, an overzealous cleaner in Germany ruined a piece of modern art worth £690,000 after mistaking it for an eyesore that needed a good scrub. The sculpture by German artist Martin Klippenberg, widely regarded as one of the most talented artists of his generation until his death in 1997, had been on loan to the Ottswald Museum in Dortmund when it fell prey to the cleaner's scouring pad. So if you go
if you go to
art museum, just think everything is art.
I wouldn't touch anything, man. In an art museum, I'm afraid to like look at the garbage that may be on the ground, right?
Yeah, I mean, luckily that guy got to keep his job. And he just started.
Well, this is a great opportunity for us to shout out some of the people that make this podcast as good as it is. Tony, take it away.
Yeah, head on over to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Check that out. Plenty of great designs. Makes a great gift as well. Don't just have to get a t-shirt. You can get a tank top. You can get a long sleeve, or you can get a hoodie. That's ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. You already know you're listening to ChairShot Radio Network, part of TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right, we are back here with the Oddity News, and we still have stories for you. Tony, the animal stories don't stop here. We recently had a momentous tournament that is around every year called Fat Bear Week. But this was unfortunately delayed after one of their fat bear contestants was killed by another rival. The annual tournament, which pits the biggest bears against each other in an online vote, not a literal pitting against each other, had to be held up by one day this past week after an incident which caught on a live video feed. Meanwhile, a four-time champion is reportedly missing as well. The start of the annual Fat Bear Week contest in the U.S. was delayed after one of their potential contestants was killed by a rival. Both bears were in contention for the 10th anniversary of the tournament, pitting the heaviest bears against each other in an online vote as they finished bulking up for hibernation. Caught on a live webcam, the brutal attack involved a male known as Bear 469 and a female bear called Bear 402 in a river at Alaska's Katmai National Park and Preserve. A naturalist for Explore.org, which streams footage from the park, said the male bear's challenge appeared predatory, as if he was triggered in the middle of something. This is a difficult situation to witness. We love to celebrate the success of bears with full stomachs and ample body fat, but the ferocity of bears is real, Mike Fitz added. The risks that they face are real. Their lives can be hard and their deaths can be painful. The video at around the 7-minute mark shows the bears fighting in the river with the female seemingly overpowered and appearing to be down before the male drags her to land. After the incident, the reveal for Fat Bear Week bracket, which confirms the 12 heaviest bears who qualified, was postponed by a day. So that way, the national parks, like Katmai, could protect not only the wonders of nature, but also the harsh realities to the people witnessing. Oh, boy, Tony, are you saddened by the Bear 402?
I heard this story on the radio. It's kind of a sad story though, right? I mean, like the little bear.
Like, I get it.
Yeah, the other bear, the one bear died, right?
Oh yeah, I mean it got eaten.
I mean,
in all fairness,
pretty gruesome.
Now you should expect that Bear 469 is probably the front runner. Just ate another bear.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean,
but That's not the end, as legendary fat bear Otis, bear number 480, is reportedly missing, according to Explore.org's TikTok feed. Otis won the very first tournament ever and went on to win another three to become the most decorated bear in the competition's history. Oh, boy. Just saying. We better take care of our bears, man.
Well, I mean, around here, we've been taking care of the bears for a few decades.
Ayo, sports reference.
You're welcome. All right. How about an update? I always like when we get, like, follow-ups to stories that we've had before, things of that nature. Does everybody remember the Detroit judge who put a teen in handcuffs during a field trip? Well, that Detroit judge was temporarily moved after ordering that teenager into jail clothes and handcuffs during a field trip, is back on the bench, but assigned to speeding tickets and other relatively minor offenses. Judge Kenneth King lost courtroom duties in August and was ordered into social-emotional training by Chief Judge at 36th District Court. Instead of handling key hearings and major felonies, he returned this week to Court's Traffic Division. We appreciate his efforts in preparing for this role and wish him success as he transitions into his new responsibility. King's attorney, Todd Perkins, said the judge is willing to work anywhere at the court. He truly understands and wholeheartedly embraces the concept of teamwork. King got in trouble for singling out a 15-year-old girl for falling asleep and having what he considered to be a bad attitude while she was visiting his courtroom with other teens. He ordered Ava Goodman into jail clothes and handcuffs, all the while the field trip was on a live streaming video. King also threatened her in front of her peers with juvenile detention before releasing her. It's kind of funny because I didn't realize that, like, judgeship was akin to, like, police work. Like, isn't if you're an officer, you don't want to be on traffic duty either?
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Yeah. Look, and we talked about this. You know what I didn't hear in that overall story at all? Was an apology. There wasn't a single sign of remorse in that story. like, okay. I'm just saying. I'm not thinking that he was, like, completely in the wrong for being upset. But we talked about it when it happened. Like, it definitely seemed to be a little over the top, no?
Yeah, but I would say 25, 30 years ago, would never even have made the news. Would have just been a lesson learned.
I mean, of course. Oh, boy. He'll just have to worry about traffic court. He's not going to get any teenagers quite like that, I hope. I don't know. He's probably doomed. I'm not going to lie. Well, I've got not one, but two stories from the exact same location. Let me tell you right now, Tybee Island, Georgia, the Tybee Island Police Department had quite a busy set of days, as on September 20th, they were flagged down by a man who said he had been verbally assaulted by a random bystander when he was asked, "Where's Waldo?" The TIPD said in their weekly release, that the man was highly intoxicated when he flagged down the officers to tell them that he had been forcibly removed from a bar on September 20th. He was wearing a red and white striped shirt, according to the TIPD. TIPD said that he then said that he had been verbally assaulted by a bystander who asked, "Where's Waldo?" to him. During the course of this investigation, the Tybee Island Police Department said that an officer spoke with employees of the bar who reported that the man became angry after they repeatedly refused to serve him alcohol. According to the employees, he then began to push against the DJ's chest, at which point he was told to leave. When the man refused, he was physically removed from the property, and a report was filed with no further action taken. But to add on to that, on September 21st, the TIPD also responded to a nursing home in reference to a stabbing. During the course of the investigation, officers learned that the incident began when one resident accused another of taking his can of Vienna sausages. The Tybee Island Police Department said that the altercation escalated when one of the men brandished a knife and allegedly began to stab the other in the chest. TIPD said that the injured resident was transported to the hospital for treatment, while the suspect was placed under arrest for aggravated assault and possession of a knife during the commission of a crime. Oh my God, Tunney, don't ever go to Tybee Island, Georgia.
There's two things you don't do. You don't touch a man's French fries, and you don't take a man's Vienna sausages.
You're damn straight. And with that, this brings us to a conclusion.
I got one more story, another pal.
Oh, you do have one more story? Okay, I lied. You could just cut that part out. My bad. I was like, I thought you were going to wrap up with that Detroit judge.
I thought it was too. But I like this a quick hitter to wrap up with.
No problem.
So all right.
You might want to mark this part.
No, we're leaving it all in. We're 1 week rusty. We're, you know, no big deal. We're shaking off the rust here. A UK woman was left confused and shaken after a stranger broke into her house, rearranged items, emptied the trash bins, and even cooked a meal for himself, according to a report. Damien Wojnilowicz, 36, admitted in court on Thursday that he entered the woman's home on July 16th in Monmouthshire, Wales, without permission while she was at work. Upon her return, the victim found several items out of place and noticed a few household chores had been taken care of, according to the BBC. She discovered her laundry hung out to dry, refilled bird feeders, cleaned floors, groceries put away, the recycling bins emptied, and a note written by Wojnilowicz. The message read, "Don't worry, be happy, eat up, and scratch." The unnamed woman also found that Wojnilowicz had consumed items from her kitchen, including a bottle of wine. "I wondered if it was somebody who knew me, if it was going to turn into a stalking incident, if he knew I lived alone, if I had been targeted," the woman said, according to BBC. "I was too scared to stay in my own home and stayed with a friend." According to court documents obtained by the outlet, Wojnilowicz was arrested later on for another burglary. In that instance, he washed his clothes and consumed some of the owner's food. On October 3rd, Wojnilowicz pleaded to two counts of burglary and was sentenced to 22 months in prison. And in prison, after leaving his cell for the first time and returning, he noticed that someone had washed his bedding and cleaned his toilet. No, I'm just kidding. That guy's got a screw loose. But at least, you know, Like, say you go out to eat, like, wasn't the old thing, if you don't have any money, you got to wash dishes? Like, at least he comes in and does some chores after he takes some food.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's far worse ways to having people break into your house.
So here's the thing, too. If this guy's homeless, well, now he has a place to stay for 22 months.
Boo.
All right. Now I'm done.
And with that, this is the end to another episode of the Oddity News. And as always, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you do, I never see it. Maybe Tunney
does. He probably gets all of them, and that's where he gets all of his stories. And I just, you know, I'm over here doing the real work or something like that. I don't know.
Wow.
I kid. Wow. I kid, Tony. I kid. You laughed, so you know what? You can't even say anything.
Fair enough.
But like I said, if you do have stories, send them our way, because the best stories are clearly coming from Tybee Island-esque and like sized cities and towns.
Conception,
so I'm sure people have it.
Conception Bay is in the lead right now, I think.
I mean, for sure, that's at least two, right? If not three. Well, how many do we have? I don't know. There's been a lot of conception lately, at least on this episode. So send us your stories. We can read them. We'll give you a shout out or something like that. And join a Patreon that we haven't made yet. You can just sort of find it somewhere and then just feel better about yourself. But on behalf of PC Tunney, my name is Dave Wirtz. This has been the Oddity News for the Oddity News Network. And as always, keep that news ridiculous.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Just got a free coffee with my EarnaFi points.
Your what?
The points I get with the new EarnaFi app from BP and Amoco. I got 250 for signing up and more every time I fill up or buy anything in the C-store.
Oh, can you use points for fuel?
Of course.
And discounts and deals?
On anything.
Oh, like chips?
Mm-hmm.
Sodas?
You got it.
The actual slushy machine.
Only what's actually for sale. But you do get double the points for the first 90 days. Just go to EarnaFiRewards.com to download the app.
Available at participating locations only. App content is subject to change.